I want to thank you for the opportunity to come and share with you this morning. When your pastor asked me to speak a while back, he said, you know, I'd really like to hear you sometime. So you have to give him a bad time because he always scheduled me to come speak when he's not going to be here. I don't know if you realize that or not. Maybe there's a reason for that. I don't know. I hope not. But I would like you to take some mental notes as I share with you this morning. Pastor asked me about how much time I needed in the program for a Gideon presentation. Normally we take about 10 to 15 minutes. And when I got here this morning, Rob said, well, you're planning to speak for about an hour and a half, aren't you? And I said, well, I wasn't prepared for that. And he said, well, you just do whatever you need to do and everything will be fine. So I am going to speak for about 10 or 15 minutes about the Gideons, and we have a couple short videos. They're about 3 minutes apiece to show you. And then at the end of the Gideon presentation, I would like to share with you just a few more words, another short message that I think is very appropriate for us all to listen to. Wednesday, October 18th, 2006, was a life-changing day for a young man from this winter community. That's the day that he suffered a heart attack known as the Widowmaker. And only 2 in 100 people lived through that heart attack. During the weeks following his heart attack, the man had time on his hands while he was recovering, and an invitation came to him to join the local Gideon camp. He decided God must have something else, more for him to do, so he joined the Gideons, where he serves the Lord today, helping to distribute God's word to those in need. Now, for many of you, when you hear the word Gideons, you probably think about these Gideon Bibles that you've seen in hotel and motel rooms around the country. And by the way, if you ever stay in a hotel or a motel where they don't have these, let me know, because I'll get somebody to get over there and get one in there for you. These are certainly an important and recognizable part of our ministry, as we place Bibles in hotel and motels around the world, and we have done so for more than 100 years. But the Gideons International is so much more. Through your ongoing contributions, we also distribute Bibles and New Testaments like these in schools, colleges, prisons, hospitals, nursing homes, and many other traffic lanes of life. We provide scriptures for the police, the fire, and the medical personnel, as well as those in the military serving both at home and abroad. The Gideons are indeed an extended missionary arm of our church. In fact, the Gideons International is organized in more than 190 countries, and we provide the gospel in over 90 languages. Last year alone, the Gideons International distributed more than 82 million copies of God's word around the globe, 10.1 million of those right here in the United States. Millions of people received Bibles and New Testaments in just a single year through your prayers and your donations. We are constantly at work as God leads to share his word in new countries too. To give you a more precise picture of how the Gideons represent your church around the world, consider this. Gideons distribute at least 2 copies of God's word every time you snap your fingers. Whenever you snap your fingers, the Gideons have just given 2 Bibles or New Testaments to people who need to know the Lord. Our single purpose is to see lost people, men, women, and children all around the world come to Christ. And as we seek to serve the Lord in accomplishing this goal through personal witnessing and by distributing copies of God's word, copies that you help provide, Time and time again, we find that once people read the Word of God, their lives are changed eternally. Testimonies like the one that I'm about to share with you confirm that. Ishwani Prasad was raised in a Hindu family. Later, he married and had three children. At some point in his life, he took a turn for the worse, and Ishwan began to drink alcohol and lost concern for his family, which led to the demise of his marriage. Sometime after that, Ishwan and his boss, a Christian from Korea, stayed in a hotel during a business trip. Ishwari's boss called him from a different room and asked him if he had seen the Bible in his nightstand in his room. Ishwari confirmed to his boss that the Bible was in his room, but he didn't tell him that he hadn't been reading it. He was surprised that his boss knew that there was a Bible in the room, and this intrigued him, and so he began to read. The Holy Spirit began to work in Ishwari's life. When he returned to work, he asked his colleagues if they knew where he could find one of those Bibles. None of them were Christians, and none of them knew where to get a copy of God's Word, since they were all Hindus. A few days later, a Christian colleague gave him a New Testament, much like this one, that his daughter had received at school. And Ishwari began to read it. The Holy Spirit began to work in his light. When he was reading the Bible in this New Testament, he stopped and he looked at Matthew 18:8. The verse reads, "And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away." God used that scripture, that verse, to convict Ishwari, and shortly after that, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. Soon after, God restored his family, and they were all baptized. Today, Ishwari serves as the National Field Coordinator for the Gideon's International in his home country of Fiji. Although Gideon's International has distributed 2.3 billion scriptures since its beginning, remember that a single copy of God's Word may influence a whole family or a whole village. Right now, more than 4 billion people are lost and are in need of God's Word. 200 million of them right here in the United States. Let me say that again. 200 million people in the United States do not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So we need your help to reach them. These scriptures, like the Bibles in hotel and motel rooms, the scriptures that we distribute in schools and around the country, are paid for by churches and people just like yourselves. With your support, God's Word can go out to the multitudes by the truckload. Rarely do unsaved people come in off the streets just to hear the gospel preached. So let us take the Word to them, where they live, where they are in their own lives. And when we go into the world, they can learn that they are loved by God and by people like you. You can call us the missionary arm of your church, where you purchase scriptures like these, and we'll see to it that they get distributed around the world in places of need. Isaiah 55:11 reads, "So shall my word be that gives forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." If you'd please key up that first video for us. I think we'll hear that now.
Drugs, alcohol, prostitution. I was just trying to find something to fill the void that was in my life. I thought maybe if I had more things or had more drugs, maybe that would be the solution, but it wasn't. It was a park similar to this right here, occupied by homeless. And I remember that Saturday morning, I had got up early. took a couple of hits of acid, tooted some coke, and I went for a walk in that county park in Battle Creek, Michigan. Here I was, a reject from the military. My third wife done walked out on me. And I just felt there's nothing else left but to commit suicide. But then there were some men in the park that day. They was witnessing to the homeless, and they were giving them these little testaments. And one of them came up to me, had a big smile on his face, and he said, "Do you know Jesus?" And that young man, he took that little testament and he opened it, and he showed me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And I personalized that. "For God so loved Leroy Kennedy that he gave his only begotten son." Then he opened it to the book of Romans, and he showed me how I can pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. It was that day I prayed. I asked Jesus to forgive me. I asked him to come into my heart, clean up my life, and to make me somebody. And the Lord heard that prayer, and the Lord answered that prayer. And I want you to know I was instantly healed from my dependency of drugs. And the rehab centers didn't do it, but when I asked Jesus to come into my life was cleaned up, and I was clear-headed of the drugs. And you know, for the first time, that void that I had been carrying around all of my life, all of a sudden I felt like a new person. I felt whole, I felt complete.
I'd like all of you to check your pulse. Go ahead, check your pulse wherever you can get it. Now ask yourself, what is God's purpose for having me come here today? Why did God bring you here today? For some of you, it might be your first time here. Some of you maybe have worshipped here all your lives, or since this building was put here. Wouldn't you agree that giving God's word to the lost could make an eternal difference? At the end of the service today, you're going to be given an opportunity to share God's word with people that you don't even know. People that need God. We're going to have a basket out there at the back by the entryway, and I'll be out there greeting you. And if you feel so led, we could use your help. For an investment of about $1.20, you can provide a scripture like this one for somewhere around the world. Maybe this is the only book they'll ever get to read. For $5, you could place one of these Bibles in a motel or hotel room where someone would have access to it in their time of need. A Bible like this one placed in a motel room can have up to 5 or 6 years of life, sometimes in a motel room, reach up to 2,600 people during its time there. And if people take them home with them, that's great, because we'll go put them back in there again. We also have a Gideon card program. I think I stuck a couple cards in here. We have We have cards that you can give for all different occasions. We have some new Christmas cards. We have cards in recognition of special events. We have cards in memory of lost loved ones, or we have get well cards. You have a card rack in your entryway, which we probably need to replenish. But amazingly, a lot of different cards available to you. And in your bulletin insert today, explain some of the various ways that you can be friends of the Gideons. If you're unable to support the Gideons financially, please support us with your prayers as we seek to distribute God's word around the world. Please pray for the Gideon ministry. Pray for three specific needs. First, pray that we'll have a steady flow of funds to purchase Bibles and New Testaments to meet every increasing demand that we receive for God's word. Second, pray that you that we will have more men to join the Gideons. We have a very small camp here in the Winnie community, and we have a pretty large area that we need to go and see, putting testaments in schools and outreach in the community. And finally, pray that those adults and children who receive God's word will not only open the scriptures, but also open their hearts to Christ. Now, as I began today, I told you a story of a young man and how he became a Gideon. It's been almost 13 years since my heart attack. And every day I thank God that he opened my heart to the Gideon ministry. And if God's opened your heart to the ministry today, please consider making a financial gift to the Gideons International. When you give to the Gideons International, you help impact lives for Christ. And if we could call up that second video, it's just kind of a summary of what the Gideons organization is all about.
Ephesians 2:12 says that to be without Christ is to be without hope. To live without Christ is to live in a state of uncertainty, with little expectation of the future, and with no real solutions to life's most difficult challenges. Much of the world exists in this state of hopelessness. But to find hope in the person of Jesus Christ is to find hope in its purest form. Hope in Christ is more than a momentary respite from pain, more than a wish of things to come. It is true and lasting. It provides us with a strong and assured expectation of what God has promised, and it changes who we are and how we live. This hope is part of our salvation. It provides power for living. It gives us joy. It gives us protection. It gives us strength and boldness. It gives us comfort and peace. It gives us confidence in ministry. As children of God, we abound in the hope of Jesus Christ, daily experiencing the blessing of calling Him Savior. If we believe His word is alive and absolute, we should not be able to contain the hope inside of us. With every Bible we place, with every scripture we distribute, and with every word of witness we share, we offer true and lasting hope in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as there are people in the world who do not know Jesus, who do not have hope, our work is not finished.
I'm going to take just a little bit more of your time I found something more that I'd like to share with you. I'm going to read some scripture from Romans 12, verses 9 through 18. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. I'd like to tell you about a young man. His name is Bill. He has wild hair, wears a t-shirt with holes in it, jeans, no shoes. This is literally his wardrobe for his entire 4 years of college. He's brilliant. He's kind of profound and very, very bright. He became a Christian while he was attending college. Across the street from the campus is a well-dressed, very conservative church. They want to develop a ministry to the students, but are not sure how to go about it. One day, Bill decides to go there to church. He walks in with his shoe, without any shoes, jeans, that holy t-shirt that he wore, and that wild hair. The service was already started, so Bill starts to look for a seat. Church is completely packed, and he can't find a seat. By now, people are really looking, and it's uncomfortable, but no one says anything. Bill gets closer and closer. He's coming down that center aisle. He gets closer and closer to the pulpit. And as he gets to the front of the congregation, he doesn't find any place to sit, so he sits down right on the floor. Crosses his legs, and he's sitting there right in front of the pastor, right in front of the pulpit. About this time, the minister realizes that from far away in the back of the church, a deacon slowly making his way toward Bill. Now, the deacon is in his 80s, silver gray hair, wearing a three-piece suit. He's a godly man, very elegant, very dignified, very courtly, and he walks with a cane. As he starts walking toward the boy who's sitting right there in the front on the floor, everyone's saying that they can't blame him for what he is about to do, what he has to do. How can you expect a man of his age and of his background to understand some college kid sitting there on the floor? It takes a long time for the man to reach the front of the room. Church is utterly silent except for the clicking of the man's cane. All eyes are focused on him. Can't even hear anyone breathing. The minister can't even preach the sermon until the deacon does what he has to do. The deacon finally reaches Bill, sitting there on the floor. Church watches, and the elderly man drops his cane right on the floor beside Bill. And he sits down to worship with Bill. Everyone chokes up with emotion. When the minister gains control, he says, "What I'm about to preach to you, you will never remember what you have just witnessed. You will never forget. Be careful how you live your life. You may be the only Bible that anybody sees. Let's pray.